Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Priestley et al. Titled, The NRF2 Knockout Rat, a New Animal Model to Study Endothelial Dysfunction, Oxidant Stress, and Microvascular Rarefaction. This article published online December 4th, 2015. Joining me today are Editor-in-Chief Irv Zucker, lead author Julian Lombard, and content expert Junie Paula Warrington. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. And thank you both Julian and Paula for participating in this discussion of a very interesting study. By way of introduction and background, let me just say that the transcription factor NRF2 has been known for some time to promote the transcription of a variety of antioxidant enzymes in many tissues. It's critically important to understand the regulation and activation of NRF2 and how to target therapies that depend on inhibition of oxidative stress in a variety of disease states. Under normal circumstances, NRF2 is sequestered in the cytosol with its protein tether KEAP1. This relationship promotes ubiquitination and proteasomal degradation of the complex so that NRF2 normally remains at relatively low levels. However, under conditions of high oxidative stress, KEAP1 acts as a sensor and rapidly releases NRF2, which translocates to the nucleus, where it eventually binds to the antioxidant response elements of many genes. Abnormalities in NRF2 signaling can come about either by enhanced ubiquitination or alterations in the transcription of NRF2 itself. In the current study, a novel rat model was produced to further implicate NRF2 in microvascular regulation in rats that were fed high salt. Obviously, this work has very high relevance to the pathogenesis of hypertension. Julian, I wonder if you can briefly describe the model that you made and the protocol you used to investigate the role of NRF2 in microvascular regulation.
Thanks, sir. Gladly. The NRF2 rat strain that we reported in the article was created on the Sprague-Dawley genetic background using TALEN technology, targeting a sequence within the first exon of the rat NRF2 gene. The targeted sequence included the start codon for NRF2 translation. In the paper, we verified NRF2 knockout by PCR and immunohistochemistry, showing widespread staining for NRF2 in the kidneys from wild-type rats in the absence of NRF2 staining in kidneys from the knockout rats. We also evaluated messenger RNA expression for several known NRF2 regulated indicator enzymes, namely catalase, hemoxygenase 1, superoxide dismutase 1 and 2, and glutathione reductase in livers from wild-type and NRF2 mutant rats fed high-salt diet. Messenger RNA expression for all these enzymes was significantly lower in the high-salt-fed NRF2 rats, the mutant rats compared to the wild-type controls. And from a functional standpoint, we evaluated the endothelial function in isolated middle cerebral arteries and measured microvessel density in the cremaster muscle of salt-fed wild-type and NRF2 mutant rats. In the MCA studies, we showed that low-dose angiotensin II infusion restores endothelium-dependent dilation in response to acetylcholine in the salt-fed wild-type rats, but not in middle cerebral arteries from the NRF2 mutant rats. And in the microvessel density experiments, we demonstrated that low-dose angiotensin II infusion prevented salt-induced microvascular rarefaction in the cremaster muscle of wild-type rats, but not in the NRF2 mutant rats when they were fed high-salt diet. And finally, at the cellular level, we verified that angiotensin II causes translocation of NRF2 to the cell nucleus in cultured aortic endothelial cells from Sprague-Dawley rats, and that the NRF2 staining is absent in endothelial cells from the knockout rats.
Thanks, Julian. Paula, do you want to comment on the novelty of this model and what might be the contributions to understanding the pathogenesis of hypertension?
Sure, Irv. This is indeed a very important study because it shows for the first time that NRF2 or NRF2 is necessary for low-dose angiotensin II to have protective effects against high-salt treatment. This is important as while there are already NRF2 mutant mice, it is important to have a rat strain with deletion of NRF2 because a lot of the physiological parameters have already been studied in rats, and rats are usually more important or widely used in pharmacology studies. And so I think that this has great implications for hypertension research, especially since there are a lot of animal models in the rat where they have different aberrations in different pathways that are important for the pathogenesis of hypertension.
Thanks, Paula. Julian, one of the most interesting things about this study was the fact that angiotensin, or at least low-dose angiotensin, seems to be protective in wild type, but not in NRF2, at least in the high-salt diet animals. Could you comment on this? Because most people would think that angiotensin plays a negative role. That is, it increases oxidative stress to the extent that it's actually deleterious to both microvascular regulation and contributes to hypertension.
Thank you, Irv. That's definitely true. It's absolutely indisputable that high doses of angiotensin II contribute to oxidant stress and endothelial dysfunction. That's been shown over and over again. But what's interesting is that if angiotensin II levels are below normal physiological levels, the vessels are also under oxidant stress. In previous studies, we showed that low-dose angiotensin II infusion, which is just enough to prevent salt-induced angiotensin II suppression and restore normal angiotensin II levels in the plasma, also restores endothelial function and reduces vascular Ross levels and prevents microvascular rarefaction as well. We know that the protective effect of low-dose angiotensin II infusion on salt-fed rats can be blocked by losartan and by ERK1-2 inhibition. And because studies in other laboratories have shown that ERK1-2 activation can activate NRF2 antioxidant defense systems in other systems, we believe that physiological levels of angiotensin II maintain NRF2-mediated antioxidant defenses via tonic activation of the AT1 receptor, and this leads to tonic activation of the ERK1-2 pathway and the maintenance of NRF2-mediated antioxidant defenses.
So do you think that people that are infusing angiotensin to generate hypertension are using industrial doses that may or may not be relevant to physiological regulation?
I think they're definitely related to pathophysiological conditions. And as I mentioned before, pressor doses of angiotensin II at high levels that activate NADPH oxidase, for example, will increase oxidant stress and lead to endothelial dysfunction. And interestingly, in a previous study, we used small mesenteric arteries from Sprague-Dawley rats, and we found that high salt diet led to increased levels of reactive oxygen species assessed by DHE fluorescence compared to small arteries from the controls that were maintained on a low salt diet. And in that study, if we infused a low dose, a suppressor dose of angiotensin II that was previously shown to restore normal circulating angiotensin II levels in salt-fed rats, vascular reactive oxygen species levels returned to low salt values in these high salt-fed rats. However, when we infused a higher dose of angiotensin II, we saw the expected increase in ROS levels in the mesenteric arteries of the salt-fed rats.
Great. Paula, do you have any additional questions for Julian on this interesting study or the results that he found?
This is a very interesting study, and I wanted to know what would you see as the next step in understanding how NRF2 regulates those low-dose angiotensin II protective effects, especially using other animal models that are currently available.
Julian?
One thing that we want to look at especially is to actually get some estimates of reactive oxygen species levels in vessels of animals during conditions such as upregulators of NRF2, such as protandim and sulforaphane, etc. A very valuable approach would be to use, for example, RNA-seq approaches to get an idea of which pathways are activated in the case of high salt diet and low dose angiotensin II infusion, and then use network pathway analysis to identify exactly which pathways are involved and how they're affected by knockout of NRF2, for example. And one question that's interesting is whether the NRF2-mediated antioxidant defenses are simply overwhelmed with high levels of angiotensin II or whether they fail to be activated at all. And that question is based on studies by Reed and co-workers showing that high and low dose angiotensin II infusion trigger different downstream signal transduction steps in the rat myocardium. So it'd be interesting to know the exact steps between AT1 receptor activation and the eventual upregulation of NRF2-mediated antioxidant defenses.
All great ideas. Thank you, Julian. Finally, I would guess that these rats are going to be in demand. If people want access to this model, how can they get it, or can they contact you, or is there a resource that you can provide?
Yes, sir, there certainly is. The rats can easily be obtained by contacting Dr. Gertz at the Medical College of Wisconsin and signing a standard material transfer agreement. In addition to one laboratory at MCW, we've already made arrangements for two different laboratories to obtain the NRF2 mutant rats, one in the United States and one in Europe.
Great. I think we will conclude this discussion. Thank you both for a very interesting discussion, and congratulations, Julian, on a very nice study. Kara, back to you.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.